Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, it is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. The story of Noah and the Ark. This is one of the first Bible stories that many of us learn as kids. Right? And why not? You can see why it would appeal to kids. First, it sounds like a trip to the largest zoo in the entire world. You get to see two of every single animal on the entire planet. There's also the friendly zookeeper, Noah, who often looks a lot like Santa dressed in a big brown bathrobe. Then there's the arts and crafts area where you can help Noah build the ark. Then, of course, this zoo is also a water park, because you get to go on this amazing boat ride out on the open seas. And then finally, at the end, you get to see a big, beautiful rainbow in the sky, made of colors that even Crayola couldn't match. So it's a trip to the zoo, an arts and crafts area, a water park adventure, and a big, colorful rainbow. Right? What kid wouldn't like that? And perhaps that's why many churches have Noah and the Ark painted on the wall in their church nurseries. It sounds like the most kid-friendly story in the entire Bible. Until you realize that it's not. As we get older and we look at the story again, we realize that this is not a trip to the zoo or a water park adventure or a giant coloring book page. Instead, it is a worldwide catastrophe where everyone and everything on the entire planet are destroyed, except for 8 people and a whole bunch of animals. And the cause of this global destruction is God, who is supposed to love everyone. What's up with that? I think those are the two extremes of the ways people often hear this story. It's either a kid-friendly, G-rated, cartoony adventure where everything is literally puppy dogs and rainbows, or it's an R-rated tragedy where the entire planet is wiped out by the deity we are supposed to worship and adore. What is going on here? On the one hand, we don't take the story seriously enough. And on the other hand, we don't hear any good news in it at all. So what are we supposed to do with it? And how does it connect to us now during pandemic life? Well, let's back up a little bit here first. Because all we get today are just 10 verses from a much larger story. It's just a snippet from Genesis chapter 9. So if we back up, we see that the first time Noah is mentioned is back in Genesis chapter 6. But the story doesn't even start there. We need to go back even further to see how the stage is set for Noah to begin with. Way back in Genesis 1, God creates everything. We know that. And God said it was good. Then God creates Adam and Eve. But they think they can do whatever they want. They eat the fruit they weren't supposed to eat, and then everything basically goes downhill from there. One of their sons ends up murdering the other one, and all of humanity becomes corrupt. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, things are really bad. Quote, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. Notice that God did not send the flood because God was angry at humanity. No, God was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. God was not angry. God was sad. God wants humanity to make better choices. Consider it like this. Have you ever known someone who was just making a bunch of really bad choices? You wish that they would make better choices, but they just weren't. But you couldn't just stand there and let them flush their lives down the toilet. So you said something. You did something. You held an intervention. And you didn't do that because you were angry at them. No, you did it because you loved them. You felt sorry for them. And you knew that this is not how their life was supposed to be going. So you stepped in and tried to stop them. Right? Maybe you stopped giving them money. Maybe you cut them off. Maybe you tried to teach them a lesson. And maybe it worked for a little while. But then perhaps that person went back to making bad decisions after all. That's what happened in the flood story too. Right before today's scene, we hear that the ark lands, Noah gave a sacrifice to God, and God promises never to destroy the earth again. But notice why God made that promise. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind. For the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. Nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. Did you catch that part right in the middle? God promises never to destroy the world again because the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. Even after God did something, humanity was still sinful. So does that mean the flood was a giant mistake? Did that mean God wiped out the world for no good reason? No, of course not. I mean, was it a mistake when you intervened with the person you knew who was making bad choices? No. It was a sign of love. You didn't want their poor choices to get in the way of you two having a relationship together. That's what the flood was about, too. God wanted us to make better choices in life, to start over again, to repent, right? Use whatever term you want. But the end game was that God wanted people to be in right relationship with God. And that's why this is a great text for Lent. But really, so what? Right, where does this flood story leave us now? What good does it really do us during pandemic life? Where is the hope here? Well, that's where our passage for today comes in. Because this is where we hear about the rainbow. Right, now the rainbow isn't just a pretty thing to look at in the sky. It's not just God using the best box of crayons ever. Instead, it's a sign of the promise that God has made. When God hangs the bow in the sky, It's like a bow from a bow and arrow. It's a weapon of war. By hanging it up, or by putting it away, God is promising that God will never use it again. God basically said, well, this didn't convince them how much I love them. Let me find another way. The rainbow is a reminder to God to never destroy the earth like that again, because it doesn't work. And of course, we see the rainbow too. Right, as one scholar put it, when we see the rainbow in the sky, it's like God's way of saying to us, every time you see the rainbow, you can be sure that I am remembering my promise about new life. And that's what the rainbow is about. God bringing new life. No matter what choices we're making or what the world is like. Consider, for example, all of the rainbows that have popped up in England. On March 18th, 2020, just 1 week after the pandemic officially started, Crystal Stanley from Ipswich in Eastern England started the Rainbow Trail Facebook page. The About section of the page says this. All you have to do is create rainbow pictures and stick them in your window for children to find on walks, especially during this hard time of self-isolation. You can be as creative as you like, using pens, paints, or anything you have to make one. Well, soon, all kinds of people gathered on this rainbow trail. The Facebook page now has over 192,000 members. People have been creating rainbows from all kinds of different media and hanging them up in their windows. Angela Ruthen, whose son Harrison made a rainbow, said that it was, quote, a truly wonderful idea while we're all facing such worries with our health, our jobs, and our children's education. This has offered a positive approach. It's bringing families together at home to create a rainbow, making people smile as they're spotted in windows. It's bringing our wonderful school and even our world together. Now, maybe some people hear that story and just give it an aw, how sweet kind of reaction. They see it as just something cute that makes them smile. But of all the symbols that Crystal could have picked to share hope, she picked a rainbow. A sign of the promise. A sign that even when the world is a mess, God still loves us and will do whatever it takes to remind us of that love. Even when we are still sinners, God will always love us. The ultimate symbol for that, of course, is the cross. God will go to any means necessary, even to death on a cross, to show us how much God cares for us. God will not let anything, not our sin or this pandemic or even death itself, stand in the way of our right relationship with God. So yes, the story of Noah and the Ark is a famous one for people of all ages. Because no matter how old we are, what state our world is in, or how we mess things up, God loves us. And God will do whatever it takes to show us that God's love is greater than our sin. That's a promise all of us need to hear. So in the name of the one who is God's love for us in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.